Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, We're Drunk on Theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and any little thing, especially Miss Seeley's pants, Huckleberry Pie, and Brown Betty are our prayer. Dear God, Sophia, what about love? Uh-oh, somebody gonna love you in mysterious ways, and if it's that fine mister, I'll sing the mister's song, Seeley's Curse. Hell no, I curse you, mister. When Suge Avery come into town, it's all too beautiful for words. And all we've got to say about the African homeland is that it's a lily of a field. Joining us today are the usual purple colors who say I'm here because they are not a tree named Sophia, including Kevin Push the Button Jager.
Oh, always.
Kimberly, our big dog game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
I would like a big dog.
And with us is a first time and returning guest.
Yes. One and the same.
Aside from our Friday movie episodes, you may have seen her or heard her on the Philip tour of Hamilton, around the country, also in The Color Purple, or in Memphis,
Oh, God.
Let's give a big broad-waisted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Nikisha Williams.
Yay! So happy to be here.
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome.
Yes. Happy to be here. Excited. I cannot believe you pulled Memphis. I'm going to go die slowly in a corner now.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In the city it's named for, of course he found that.
Yeah. Your website is amazing, by the way. It's very nice.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Oh, God. I need to update that, too. Gee, you're just giving me all the work, Brian. This is great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, you're supposed to make a to-do list while you're on a podcast with us.
Gotcha.
But thanks for joining us. We're so happy to have you on a Tuesday episode, a typical, we'll call it, Broadwasted episode. I feel like we've gotten to know you a little bit through like pieces and nuggets of information you've passed to us while we're talking about like Mamma Mia 2. super excited to like dig down into you for these next little bit. But before we get to any of that, let's start with what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
Yes. So. What are you drinking? Keeping it casual because I still have that bottle of vodka. So instead of a vodka cranberry, now it's just a vodka orange juice to make me feel healthier.
Nice. Yes. Yeah, totally.
A screwdriver.
Yes, without the grenadine.
Oh, do they put grenadine in screwdrivers?
Oh, no, I'm thinking of a sunrise. Something completely different.
Which is kind of what I have.
It's a really cool idea. Like,
yes.
What are you drinking, Kimberly?
It's tequila, grapefruit juice, and I think some cranberry. Oh, I was nice. Handed it. I did not make it myself.
Kevin, what are you drinking?
I am drinking some of Orchard Verde's finest green apple cider.
Great.
Angry Orchard.
And I have Milagro with a splash of soda. Not a splash, it's a lot of soda. On the rocks. So cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Nikisha, maybe one day we'll be able to cheers in person.
Absolutely. Please.
Let's start with what we usually start with. What are your favorite musicals?
Yes. So I am kind of a horror movie buff. So Sweeney Todd just encompasses like everything that I love. All of the horror, all of the music. I love Sondheim. I love how he writes. And so that's like one of my top musicals. And then I would say Wicked because I want to be one day a Galinda because it's a great role. And then The Color Purple because I cried immediately throughout the whole show when it started from top to bottom.
Sure. Well, you, so full disclosure, I asked her what they were before this just so I could figure out what I wanted the intro to be. And she made it easy for me because we've already done Wicked and Sweeney Todd, but we'd never done Color Purple. So
amazing.
We definitely used Push the Button because it's amazing in other intros. But what you said horror. Do you have favorite horror movies? Not to talk about movies again.
I love horror movies, but I'm more of like a slasher horror movie person. Sure. Like, I like that there is a killer that dies at the end because it just makes it full circle for me. All the other ones like Paranormal Activity, where it's like you can't see the killer and it's like demonic things, I can't do that. But if it's Jason, if it's Michael Myers, you know, if it's Freddy Krueger, I'm like down to clown. And it's the new remake, phenomenal. 10 out of 10. Have seen it 10 times.
Cool.
I have a question. So yes. Did you like slashers? So did you see like Happy Death Day?
Yes, I did.
Did you see Happy? Because I loved that movie.
Yes.
Did you see Happy Death Day to you? Like, is that worth seeing, the sequel?
I think you would want to just see the sequel because you liked the first one. The premise is kind of the same, but the characters are so lovable that I liked it. And it's like still in that cheeky rom-com horror thing that they did really well. So I loved it.
Nice. I'm going to check it out.
Please. Let me know what you think.
Cool. Something that I want to talk about is when we watched Sister Act back in the Habit, you had mentioned that you were a choir teacher at one point in Memphis. I want to take the next hour and hear all about that. No. But like, how did you, like, because you're originally from Alabama, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Like, let's, I'm always interested in like, what got you into musical theater? Was it local theater? Was it movie musicals? Did you like go to New York as a young kid and see a Broadway show? Like, kind of, if you can talk to me about like how the, you know, the bug bit you in terms of that way. And then how did you teach choir in Memphis?
Oh, if we had an hour, Brian, I would tell you all of the things. But it really just started, like, I always was singing, like, in church choir and stuff, but I didn't even go to New York until I was a sophomore in college, and that was only because my high school choir teacher was taking, my actual high school choir teacher in Mobile, Alabama, was taking some of his kids, and he asked me if I wanted to go. They had raised enough money to where I could go for free, and they were going to go see Jersey Boys in Chicago.
Cool.
And so I went, and I had always loved musical theater. I was in college majoring in music, vocal performance, but that was mostly like classical because they didn't have a musical theater program. You either just did theater or you did voice. Mm-hmm. So I was in the voice program. And so when I went to New York, the first show I ever saw was Jersey Boys. And I sat there and was in awe, jaw dropped the entire time from start to finish. And I just loved everything about it because it was just the harmonies and how they were all singing, and it just blew my mind. So I was like, I gotta find a way to try to do this because this is great. So I finished and my undergrad in vocal performance, and then my choir professor, because I was in choir on scholarship, was like, hey, if you want to stay and get your master's in choral conducting, we'll pay for it and give you an assistantship. And I didn't know what I was going to do after undergrad anyway. I was trying to get into like Cincinnati on in the opera program, and opera is not my niche, spoiler alert. So they were like, no, try again. And so I was like, okay, well, I can stay at my school and get a degree for free and get paid an assistantship. So I stayed and got a degree in choral conducting, and all you do is just you're basically being taught how to teach choir and how to like do classroom management, rehearsal techniques, all those things. So did that for 2 years. And then after that, there was an alumni. It's just a long web. There was an alumni from my college that was already teaching in Memphis, and he was looking for an assistant. And so everyone that was graduating that year applied for that job. I ended up getting that job, and I got to teach for about 3 years. The first year I was an assistant, and then he left me, Eamon Edie, I'm calling you out. He left me and said, hey, I'm going to go get my doctorate. I'm leaving you the program. And I was like, oh, okay, great. I wasn't planning on staying that long, but I guess I'll stay longer.
What was the biggest thing that you learned while taking on that position full time?
Yeah, the management of people, because you have to deal a lot with the students outside of school that you don't really realize. Mm-hmm. And your job never stops. Like even though we have summer off, like I'm still writing lesson plans. I'm still trying to figure out what we're going to sing for contest and for all state and all what we're going to do for our spring shows and all that stuff. So definitely learning how to get a little currency with the students so that they can actually respect you and do what you would like for them to do. Because mm-hmm. I think the more that the teachers are removed, especially in such a performance-based class, the more the teachers are removed from the students, the more that the students don't want to do what you ask them to do. So definitely investing more in the students and dealing with parents. I had some great parents and I had some not so great parents. Sure. And it was interesting because I mean, the parents had kids that were my age. Like I started teaching when I was 23 and those kids weren't that far removed from my age. So like the parents just thought I was a child and I would always walk around with my ID badge on. And every time I go into the teacher's lounge, the teachers would look at me crazy and tell me to leave because they thought I was a student.
Damn.
All the time.
Yeah.
But sure. Yeah, that was just managing people, really.
Sure, sure. So then you've also been on tour twice, right? Mm-hmm. With Color Purple and Hamilton. I guess let's talk. I've seen some of the videos of you going on for Sealy and by videos, I mean just the one of you singing. I guess, you know, what's it like to, you know, be traveling through that? And I think you actually did Opening of One City or something to that effect. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
What I know that from your website, great website.
Oh goodness!
talk a little bit about
soccer.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that in terms of traveling around with that powerful show around the country, and then being able to step in and make that important, powerful character your own. And talk about that experience. And that was your first tour.
Yeah, that was my first tour. I was living in New York for about a year before I got the job. And it was my first tour, first time being a swing. I didn't know what that was. So I had a lot to learn in a short amount of time. But I had a great cast that was very helpful. Being in an all-Black show and touring the country, especially when we went to some of the places where the majority is not Black, it was really nice to see people connecting with the story regardless. I mean, it's definitely a specific type of story, but seeing everybody, no matter what race they were, like on their feet at the end of it was just great. And it really warmed my heart to be cheesy for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Being able to be Sealy, like when I first saw Cynthia Erivo, I literally was like, oh my gosh, I love her voice. And it's to me was a little unconventional as far as like a Black female voice. So I was really just kind of drawn to like, oh, you don't have to sound like this type of Black female in order to be able to be a lead in a show. And that really also drew me to just loving the show. So when I got the opportunity to literally step in her shoes, because I wore her shoes on tour. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that. But anyway, it said Erivo in the shoes, and I was very excited. It was a great experience, and it taught me a lot about myself and performing, because it was my first job, and how to manage singing that kind of show for 2.5 hours, because it is very strenuous. And there were moments where my voice wasn't handling it and I had to figure it out. Mm-hmm. But it was great. I enjoyed every second of that show.
That's super cool. Kimberly, you want to play a game?
Yeah.
Let's play a game.
I got help from my husband for this game. I'm going to utilize the private chat function for a game of plot points.
Cool.
Ooh.
How we play this game is, since the two of us, since we've all discussed in depth the plot of many movies together, I have on one list some movies and TV shows we have discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have on Jay's list some songs. So you'll get one of each in your private chat, and you need to sing the melody of the song, but by telling us the plot of whatever the show is.
So my words are the plot and the melody is the song?
It's the song.
Oh,
and then
gosh.
We all have to guess Well, like both things, the song and the show or movie or whatever.
This is going to be so hard.
Brian will go first to explain.
Okay.
And because you can't pull things out of a hat, just tell me when.
When?
Okay. Tell me when.
When?
Oh, that's funny.
And I love that it's like the Zoom delayed when.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's so true.
All right, ready?
Yep.
I moved across the country to be with a boy, but not I haven't. When I say, I West Covina's that away.
Absolutely. That's amazing.
So it's,
I Want It That Way.
Yep.
And Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Nailed it.
Yes. Cool. That was incredible.
Who wants to go next? Kevin?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Tell me when.
When?
That's my new favorite thing to do ever. And tell me when.
When? She does not want love, but he just got out of prison. She loves him a lot now, but she made him work for it. Yeah.
Okay. This is it's Livin' La Vida Loca.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think it's been so long.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, nice.
She does make him work for it.
It's amazing. Yes. I love the way I'm going to use that with somebody where I'll be like, ask them a random question, they answer, and then say, that's all for now. Thanks for the calls, XOXO.
Oh, yeah. I will say, of all the movies that we watched, I can't stop thinking about her.
Oh, she's beautiful.
And if you ever like log on to HBO Go or whatnot, like she's all over it because of her new show. And like it just immediately brings me back to watching Been So Long.
That was such a cute movie.
It was.
I just can't go. I keep going, what's the name of the game? Doesn't mean anything to you over and
I'm
over.
I'm fine without that. Nikisha, would you like a turn?
Yes. Oh, gosh.
Tell me when.
When. That makes me so happy.
I don't know why it makes it. It's just so funny to me. Okay, tell me when.
Oh, gosh. When.
Of you listening will just have to subscribe to Patreon to actually see the finger wiggle.
Yes. It's everything. I'm trying not to use the first couple of words, right? From the song.
It's so hard to not use the like beginning sentence of a song and like then make up the words.
Okay. So he wants to find the real, and so he goes to Amsterdam. And he tries to fall in love, but he leaves and his mom dies.
So I'll do the song, Kevin. You want to do the show?
Yeah.
All right. The song is If You Wannabe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the show is Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. What? Did you see? No? Wait,
no, it's Passing Strange.
Oh. I thought you said Zoe.
No.
No. It's like, yeah, his mom died, right? Or no, is it his dad?
No, Zoe's dad is... It's
like the friend, like the friend's dad that died.
Oh, the friend's dad was passing away, or
oh no, his friend, yes, Simon, his dad is dead. But Simon, I said the mom
died.
Oh, see, I was like, oh yeah,
in Amsterdam.
I didn't remember.
In Amsterdam.
I don't know.
Okay, my turn, but you guys still get to say when.
When?
When?
Okay. It is so hard not to just use the lyrics of the song.
Right?
It is in the past, but it's also present. There is a horse in a basement for no reason. And then she is pregnant, but also is her mom. And then there comes Cher, and they dance with their younger selves.
Yes!
So it's the song, what's it called? Superstition?
No, it's called Torn.
Yes, that is Torn.
Illusion never changed into something real.
Cold and ashamed, naked on the floor, yes.
Yes!
And it's Mamma Mia, our favorite movie, guys.
Here we go.
Mamma Mia 2.
Here we go. Again.
Oh, that was super fun.
Yes.
That, of course. Anyway. Plot points.
Plot points.
What?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
I have a question.
Yes.
So I kind of came from this like a similar background because I went to school for voice. And like in a classical program. And I ended up booking like a job because I was able to jump in quickly because I can read sheet music. And like from a classical background, you have like a lot of tools to kind of quickly learn things. Do you think that helped you in your like journey of being a swing to have that kind of a background?
Hands down, 1,000%. And one day I will write a book on the importance of music in schools, but also more tools and techniques that they don't necessarily teach a lot of people. And I think sight reading is definitely one of those things, or just reading music in general, is one of those things that are so beneficial. And I got so many side gigs or singing behind whoever, Broadway, whatever, because I could read music. So that definitely helped. And the fact that I was obsessed with Color Purple anyway, when I got the job, I was like, I know these songs. I know this harmony. It's fine. But yeah, definitely sight reading. If I could give the world two things, it would be therapy for all and sight singing for all the music theater people.
And with like, especially with you saying you loved Color Purple, I'm assuming you were used to the original album with the Shawns. Had you heard that one before?
I had
heard Cynthia Erivo.
It was mostly just Cynthia Erivo. I mean, I knew I'm here, but I never dove in until I actually watched the show and was like, I am in love with everything and the minimalistic, all the things. Mm-hmm. So like going back and listening to other things was a little bit different. I think it was just kind of two different things. But I definitely was more on the John Doyle, this is my jam side. Sure.
Wait, I have a question. So after Kimberly went, what song is this? You get Feel the Rain on Your Skin. Bah, 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 bah,
bah, bah, bah. That is the theme song to The Hills, which is Feel the Rain on Your Skin. Unwritten.
Okay, that's what I thought it was, but I couldn't remember.
Wait, that was bothering me. Was that The Hills or Laguna Beach?
No, it was The Hills.
The Hills.
Laguna Beach was that Hillary Duff song, right?
Yes.
Let
you are correct.
Fall down.
Yes,
that one.
My dreams, let it wash and come and clean.
Glad we all have the same middle school experience.
Exactly.
Nikisha, do you have a dream part? Let me rephrase that. Do you have a non-created dream part? Like, if you were to star in a new musical, like, what would your dream part be? Not like you said before, you want to play Glinda. Like, this part doesn't exist yet. It was written, and you're the first one to touch it. What's your dream part?
Yes, you want to play Glinda. Are you a color Torah?
I am not. I'm a lyric soprano, so I would definitely have to get in some work. But those notes are accessible. We'll just gotta work on the agility of it all.
I love color tourists make me super excited. So I just want
to. Absolutely. I wish. Kevin, I will try to be that for you, okay?
I'm gonna make it happen.
I also, side note, want to say that I love that you're watching X-Men because Storm is one of my favorite superhero
movies. Yes.
Yes. Dream role. Oh, I don't necessarily think of like a type. I definitely want to be able to originate a role and come into it as my own, whether it's something that's completely opposite of me or something that is exactly who I am. I never really thought about. I just would love to be a part of something from the ground up.
Sure.
But that's really something to think about.
Are there any composers that you would love to sing?
I love Sondheim, but I don't think any new musicals are going to be made by him. But
he working on one?
He is. Right now, I think he is.
What?
He's trying to pump one out.
Okay, well, let me get off this and get on that train.
she logs out immediately.
Gotta type. Okay. Pasek and Paul.
If you could pick your favorite Sondheim, like what Sondheim heroine you would want to play?
Oh, absolutely. Dot in Sunday in the Park with George is my jam. And, or either, I would love to be Beggar Woman in Sweeney Todd.
Sure.
Or anything in Company.
The whole Company.
The whole, just a solo woman show, Company, starring Nikisha Williams. Got it. Hands down.
Yeah.
Into it.
Yes. But, cool.
So you were previously in Hamilton, or are still in Hamilton, however you define it. What's Aaron really like on tour?
Yeah. Spill the tea.
Aaron is my famous friend. I always call him my famous friend because he is, you wouldn't know what he did unless you stalked him, and I stalked him. I pulled a Brian and I stalked him, and I was like, ooh. You did what? You've been in... where you're in which episode of which, and then he's just like, oh yeah, I'm just, it's whatever. And I'm just like, Aaron, you're famous. What are you talking about? You've done all these things. And he's just like so chill about everything. Like you would never know he doesn't wear his resume ever. He's just like down to earth and chill and helpful. And he's definitely been like my tour buddy since he's been here.
Sure. So what I'm gathering is he's a monster person and
exactly.
Never want to work with him again.
Welcome to our friend.
It's only mean when he's not here. So this is mean. but I guess what have you taken from as a performer, as a human being, from performing Hamilton at the peak of its popularity? And it just seems to be getting more and more popular. If that's even possible.
I right.
mean, for you traveling the country, performing this like truly transcendental, however you want to say it, piece at the peak of its popularity, not like a couple years down the line where like it's died down and someone's finally seeing it. Like what's that like for you, especially as a young performer?
Yeah. I mean, when I first came in, there was a little bit of pressure to perform it to the ability that the audience wants it to be performed because, you know, everyone in those seats are diehard Hamilton fans and they know all of the words and they know exactly how things go. And so like, it was a little bit of a pressure trying to make sure that I could be that, but it's such a great story. And it like really kind of just tells itself that as long as you're in it, the audience is in it, you know, for lack of a better word or phrase. But it definitely has taught me to just trust the work and that I don't need to do anything specifically different myself, but trust the things that I'm saying. And as long as those are genuine and authentic, then everyone is going to be moved by the story. And in doing that, I've definitely learned some different things that I've helped develop my own like acting, especially because there's no dialogue in the show either. And it's like an opera. So that was kind of familiar yet also different coming from a show like The Color Purple and then going into Hamilton. And there's different kinds of singing and there's no dialogue. And so how are you going to continue to emote when you only have a measure to do it in? And because it's so driven by the music, like it's just nonstop. It's a machine that keeps going for 3 hours. So definitely learned a lot about more about just my acting and staying grounded in what the lyricists and the writers have already presented.
Cool. You talked about trust. Do you think you could find trust in a specific place called Tuesdays in the Corner with Kevin?
And my Zoom lag for when was bad.
I trust Kevin with anything because he is great and has a new desk and is watching X-Men. So
yeah. Well, I'm glad you feel that way because you now officially are in Kevin's corner. Where I have three highly researched questions for you based on me going on down weird rabbit holes on Wikipedia.
Amazing.
And, today is the name game, so we're playing with your last name, Williams. So that's the jumping off point I took on Wikipedia for each of these questions, and we'll see where it goes.
Awesome.
Question one. Your last name is Williams, just like Allison Williams, an American actress who played Marnie Michaels on the HBO comedy drama series Girls, received critical acclaim for her performance in the 2017 horror film Get Out, and not so much acclaim for the title role in the live-action musical broadcast of Peter Pan. Wah, wah. Pan, however, is the ancient Greek god of the wild, shepherds and flocks, rustic music, and impromptus, and is often affiliated with sex. The ancient Greeks also considered Pan to be the god of theatrical criticism, which is why... where we get the phrase "the critics panned the show,"
and
gives us the origin of the word "panic." If the show is so, there you go.
So interesting!
Wow.
Panic in the Sky, however, is the storyline in DC Comics that sees the return of Brainiac, a fictional supervillain extraterrestrial cyborg or android, recognized as Superman's second deadliest archenemy after Lex Luthor. So my question is, if you could have dinner with three famous people, alive or dead, who would you pick and why?
Oh, that's such a hard question. I would have dinner with...
You can't pick Aaron Alvato.
Oh, dang it. He makes the best food, too. Maybe... So Viola Davis will be on that list because yeah. I would love to hear a lot of her experience in the acting world, especially as an unconventional look for Black females.
She could also tell you how to get away with murder.
And that's really all that I want because I'm a horror buff anyway. So lead me. Probably Michael Jackson. I would love to sit down with him and talk about his creative process. Oh, and speaking of musicians, Beyonce, because I'm obsessed with her. So, yes.
Perfect.
Wait, Kevin, that Pan stuff, like, should... It's one of those things that, like, existed in two different places in my brain, and you just, like, connected the dots, if that makes
sense. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I literally actually... So, I have a degree in Greek and Roman mythology.
Yes.
And, I should have known that already, and it should not have taken Wikipedia research and then going through my old college like books to prove it. But I was like, oh, that's true. That is why we say a critic panned a show, is because it's God Pan.
Brilliant.
All right, next one. Question two. Mm-hmm. Your last name is Williams, just like Archibald Franklin Archie Williams, an American U.S. Air Force officer and winner of the 400-meter run at the 1936 Summer Olympics. After graduating from UC Berkeley with a degree in mechanical engineering and earning his private pilot's license and instructor rating, he entered the service in 1942 and was one of only 14 African Americans who were commissioned during World War II in the Aviation Meteorological Cadet Program, and was the third Black Air Force officer to attend the Air Force Institute of Technology, earning a BS in Engineering Sciences. Science Ninja Team Gatchaman, however, is a Japanese animated franchise about a five-member superhero team hired by a fictitious international science organization to oppose an international terrorist organization of technologically advanced villains who are trying to control Earth's natural resources. So my question is, what would be your ideal breakfast in bed?
I have to check out that anime. That sounds intense. Ideal breakfast in bed would be chocolate chip waffles, side of bacon, cheese grits, hash browns, and bottomless mimosas.
Yeah. Well, the idea of a bottomless mimosa and a breakfast in bed.
And a breakfast in bed, because you can't have just mimosas. It's always bottomless.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And question three. Your last name is Williams, just like Burt Williams, a Bahamian-American entertainer, one of the preeminent entertainers of the vaudeville era, and one of the most popular comedians for audiences at his time. He's credited as being the first black man to have a lead role in a film in 1914's Darktown Jubilee, and he became the first black American to take a lead role on a Broadway stage, and was by far the best-selling black recording artist before 1920. 1920 was also the year that on August 20th, the first commercial radio station in the U.S., AMK or WWJ, began operations in Detroit. So my question is, if you had to go on a quest, like a lot of adventure fantasy stories a la Lord of the Rings, which three musical theater characters would you choose to be your quest companions and why?
Three musical theater people? Mm-hmm. Oh.
Not actors, but like characters.
Right. Wow. I'm just trying to think of musicals that I've listened to. I would probably definitely take Sweeney Todd because he could kill all the bad guys on our journey on the way.
And give you a haircut if you need it.
And give me a haircut when I needed it. Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm trying to think of like a character who's good at finding things. Gosh, who are the Hufflepuff characters? Wow. That's so hard. Maybe I'm just gonna pick from musicals that I can remember in my brain right now. Maybe Aaron Burr, because he's smart and he can like navigate our way through the quest. And I don't know, somebody fun to keep things like light and entertainment. Oh, Donkey from Shrek.
Oh, great one.
Because he already knows the song for like the traveling buddy song or whatever.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So keep things light and entertain. Yeah. And yes, those are my three.
Just for fun, Brian, who would your three be?
Oh,
can't really be thinking.
I would take Don Quixote.
Okay.
He would just make a bad situation good, or he'd get really annoying. We'll figure it out. I would take Cole House to play us some tunes, and he's just a man of integrity, and I think we would need that on our journey. And then I would take Donna Sheridan from Mamma Mia. I think that she, you know, as we all know, she wears overalls. She's just like this like freewheeling girl who like can talk to anybody and just like have like a conversation with anybody. Like if we went to a pub, she would just jump on stage and sing I Kissed the Teacher, and we'd have a great time.
Yeah, it would work out.
Oh, that's something.
Who are your three, Kimberly?
I would take the baker's wife.
Mm.
Because she's crafty.
Right.
And who else? Why am I like, I might also take the giant. Like, and the witch. And we'll figure it out.
Yes.
Kimberly's bringing the cast into the woods.
Yeah. It's a big cast.
I would bring Elle Woods would be my, like, brains.
Sure.
Nicely would be my muscle. And okay. Then I would bring adult Simba because he would eat the bad guys.
Yes, sure. Absolutely.
And if you are traveling by boat, Nicely is there to remind you that
sit
you
down.
Need to, yeah, sit down.
If you are rocking said boat. And this has been Kevin's Corner.
Yay!
Excellent. Oh, man. You had mentioned Hufflepuff before. What's your Harry Potter house?
Listen, for all you Patreon fans, super Hufflepuff day, okay?
Oh, wow. Damn.
Hufflepuff all day, every day.
Hufflepuff socks. You're like, yes. You are, that is your
different?
House.
That is my house. Say it again.
Are we all different?
No, I think Kevin and, because at.
Are you and Kevin both Gryffindors, you think?
I think we're Ravenclaws.
I got Gryffindor in the test, but I don't know if like 12-year-old me would have been a Gryffindor.
Right.
We all grow into like our best Gryffindor selves, but like I don't know if I was like a Gryffindor at the onset. I think I would have been like the bookworm.
But at 11, I became a Slytherin, and here I am.
Yeah.
Fair.
Makes sense.
What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite Harry Potter book?
I have not read the books. I just watched the movies. I'm lame. I know.
Well, do you have a favorite movie then?
So I didn't even get on to Harry Potter. This is going to be a roundabout way. But my first Harry Potter was Goblet of Fire. And just I loved it.
Jumping right in.
I jumped right in.
Yeah.
And
that's one.
Literally, so the return of the bad guy that they've been building up for half the series.
Goodness.
Yeah. Who needs exposition when you just get what everyone's been waiting for?
Yes. And Robert Pattinson. So I was
that's true.
Bad Robert Pattinson.
That's what I needed. So then I went back and then watched the movies. And then like when Order of the Phoenix came out, I bought the DVD and then got my little wand at Disney World.
Did you see Puffs?
I did, because I had a friend that I worked at Ellen Stardust Diner that was in it, Chrissy. And I was dying laughing the entire time.
Oh my God, you worked at Ellen's?
I did.
How was that?
Yes.
So for those of you, for everyone listening or watching us, Ellen's, why don't you explain what Ellen's Stardust Diner is? And I'm sure a lot of people have come to the city, have been, but like, let's hear it from a server's perspective.
Let's hear it from somebody who knows.
So Ellen's Stardust Diner is a place where the servers will serve you your cheeseburgers and also scream in your face. And that is my experience with Ellen's Stardust Diner. I was serving cheeseburgers and screaming Tina Turner as I'm handing out drinks and as people are yelling at me to get them more ranch dressing.
What were your songs? Like, did you have certain songs that you always went to?
Yeah. So I would always sing, Don't Rain on My Parade.
Nice.
For like a bucket song. So they pass around a bucket that are tips that are just for the singing servers. And a lot of the servers are people who are trying to get on Broadway or have been on Broadway and like are in between jobs. And so they would, as well as our tips that we would get from the tables, they would pass around a bucket and those tips would just go to the singing servers. So we would have to have that build up song so that people would be like ready and paying attention for the bucket speech. And so my bucket song was Don't Rain on My Parade. Cool. And then when the bucket goes around, we like just sing show tunes. So they will always do the Mamma Mia Mega Mix all the time.
Yes.
The whole thing. We would also sing One Day More, Les Mis, the whole thing.
Sure.
We would do Be Our Guest and have trays and run around. And people would get upset because it's like a 10-minute song and we're not helping them out. But it was great. It was a fun time. But yeah, just if you want to hear some show tunes and get some expensive cheeseburgers and American food, go to Ellen's.
Yeah.
Kevin, Kevin and I worked at a singing dancing ice cream parlor together, and Kimberly worked at the adjoining theater to it.
And my husband was their boss.
Yes, it's true.
What?
Kevin, what were your songs that you sang for solos?
My solos were If I Only Had a Brain, because it's funny to hear like a big dude be like, oh, I'm stupid. So that always went over really well. And then I used to sing, I sang Never Neverland.
Sure.
Yes.
From Peter Pan, and like made it like this whole like big guy is like a dreamer. I think those were my two go-to songs. Yeah, I think that's what I did. What did you do, Brian?
I only sang Luck Be a Lady. It didn't matter.
Oh, that's right. That was like a joke about how you would write it on the wall and be like, we know.
Yeah. Like whenever it was my turn, I would just do Luck Be a Lady. People loved it. And then I'd go up to like the moms and like, yeah, and then we get tipped to, it'd be great.
And what was great, what was funny about that job is that we would work, we would probably do like 5 to 6 shows a night between 5 p.m. and like 11 p.m. Gotcha. 6 p.m. and 11 p.m. So like in that 5-hour period, we did like 5 or 6 shows. And we would do that, like, and you worked and you'd one night off a week and you worked 6 nights. So it was like kind of a lot for your voice to get.
Yeah.
And when there were people working, there was one person who'd be outside, like basically being like the hostess for the evening or the host. And so like that person didn't have to sing. So you loved doing that job.
Yes.
You were just chilling outside asking people how many people were in their party, but like everyone else was in there just singing 6 shows and like also waiting tables and screening orders and crazy.
Where was this?
On the Jersey Shore at the Surflight Theater.
Nice.
So
in every show there was a soloist and you were assigned that, so you knew you were going to do that, but then you had to ask one of the other servers to do a duet with you. And halfway through the summer, no one wanted to sing a duet with somebody because if I wasn't singing the solo, like, girl, I'm not singing tonight. And so you'd ask all these people to do the duet and nobody would do it. So toward the end, me and Brian were the only people willing to do duets. So Brian and I just sang together wherever we go. Like,
yes.
Literally like 6 times a night for like 7 days a week.
Obsessed.
And it was so funny because he's so tall. So like we did the whole like that thing, but it was the best. We were 24 years old.
Yeah.
We were working.
I remember is Kevin singing Sisters from White Christmas.
Oh yeah. Yes. We picked like one of the pretty girls and then I would be the other one. And so Sisters, and it'd be like this whole, I'd wear a wig and I put up like, we would sell these t-shirts and I would put on a child small, which was like barely covering myself.
I think I have one of those here.
Yeah, and then I would come out and do Sisters with this like really pretty petite little like blonde girl or something.
Obsessed. Are there videos? That's what I need to know.
There are videos of the parlor, but I don't know if there are videos of us.
I have a pretty good picture of me in a child's small t-shirt with my uniform underneath.
I would like that, please. Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you want to play another game?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, we can play Dreams Hands on a Hard Body.
Yeah.
So,
explain what it is while I get a drink.
Okay, I was going to be like, we've known the rules for 4 years. Basically, it's a categories game. So you have 2 hands. You'll put them both in front of you. And we'll go around. If we name a category, for instance, a color, we would say like green, blue, yellow, in order. And if you either take too long to come up with something or repeat something someone has already said, you'll put 1 hand up. That's your dirty hand. If you get 2 hands, you're out.
Okay.
And then we play till someone wins.
Got it.
And also, because Zoom is hilarious and everyone is in a different order on their own screens, I will tell you what order you're in. So I'm just going to go from Brian will start, then me, then Kevin, then Nikisha.
Cool.
So remember who you go before.
Okay.
Usually there's a beat that goes with this. Zoom makes that terrible to listen to, so we will not.
Brian, Kimberly, me, Nikisha?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I am going to do... my category is musicals that have animals in them.
Real animals?
It could be anything from actors playing an animal to my first one's going to be Annie to like there being a dog, actual dog in it.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with Annie.
Peter Pan. Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped.
Seussical.
Peter Pan.
Lion King.
Tarzan.
Legally Blonde.
Oh, Cats.
Into the Woods.
Oh.
Oh my gosh, this is my category. Joseph?
Yeah, there's camels.
The camels?
Did you say specifically musicals?
Yes, I did.
The Ferryman's Out.
Oh. Does that count, Joseph?
I don't know. What are their animals?
I just imagine there being camels.
No, I'll say no.
Yeah, I guess it's not integral to the story, whereas the other one's like, she has a dog. Yeah, okay, that's fine. I'm out of my own category. That was embarrassing. Great. I will choose another one.
One hand up.
No. Let's go with musicals that have won the best musical Tony. Not revival, new musical Tony that have won.
I have to go backwards in time starting last year.
So I'll start. I'm going to go with Hadestown.
But that was my method. In the Heights.
Hamilton.
Yeah, those are my two. Band's Visit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Memphis.
You did? Good for Memphis. I love that show. Spring Awakening.
Avenue Q.
Wait, didn't Avenue Q win against Wicked?
Yeah. Yes.
Darn it. I don't know. Did Into the Woods win?
Oh, give me 1 second. Hold, please.
Here I am.
I don't think it did.
I feel like it didn't. Let's see.
Okay.
Wait. No.
Okay.
Score, best book. Joanna Gleason, best leading actress. Good for her. It won the drama desk. Do you want to count it?
No. All right. Well, that's... Oh, because it lost to Phantom.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. So you have a hand up, but you pick the next category. And it doesn't have to be. You could say, like, baseball teams. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Let's just go with colors.
Okay.
So just naming colors.
Colors.
Colors. Simple. Easy.
You start.
Go for it.
Yellow.
Blue.
Navy.
Orange.
Red.
Purple.
Chartreuse.
Green.
Brown.
Russet.
Indigo.
Black.
White.
Ochre.
Magenta.
Peach.
Look around the room.
I know I am, but y'all said gold.
Gray.
Macaroni and cheese.
not Crayola colors. Hand up.
I don't know.
Literally never happened that I'm winning.
Yes.
Kevin. All right. What's a category you're bad at? items of clothing. No, just kidding.
Shorts. Makeup. Shorts. I don't know.
What's a fun category? I don't even know anymore.
What's fun?
What's categories?
That part.
Snacks you've had in quarantine. I'll start. Cheetos.
Peanut butter with a spoon.
Pringles.
Pretzels.
Popcorn.
Those really good pretzels that have peanut butter inside of them.
Those are so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, is it me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pickles.
Prosciutto.
Sourdough bread.
Chips and queso.
Cheese and crackers.
Oreos.
Ooh. Ben and Jerry's.
Frozen pizza.
blurring the line of snack and full meal, but
like meal plan.
Watermelon.
Pineapple.
I had pineapple today. Blueberries. They're those healthy people.
Bananas.
Oh, jelly beans. Always.
Nice. Almonds.
Plain tortillas.
It's a snack. Snack.
5, 4,
gummy bears.
3.
Peaches.
Ice cream sandwiches.
Moving to the country, gonna eat me a lot of peaches. Anybody?
Peaches come from a can. Yep. They were put there by a man in a factory downtown. I know that song.
What is that?
That's the Presidents of the United States.
Yeah. It's a big song.
Jay likes them, but I don't know.
Moving to the country, gonna eat me a lot of peaches. I think he's probably in the category.
Kimberly, you're up.
I'm picturing my fridge.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you picked the category for the three of us.
Ooh, okay. Oh, no, that's sad. I was about to like musicals that kind of still have their marquee up.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Musical marquees we can't see.
All right.
Moulin Rouge.
Ain't Too Proud.
Company.
Diana, A New Musical Story.
Is Frozen's marquee still up?
Probably.
Frozen.
Aladdin.
The Lion King.
What are shows? What are shows?
There are things...
Tina.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Chicago.
Wicked. Have we said that?
No. Mm-hmm. I think Beetlejuice is still up.
Marquee?
Yeah.
The Phantom of the Opera.
Wait, what'd you say, Kevin?
The Phantom.
I can't think of any other.
Hamilton. Did we say that?
Oh, I fail. I deserve to be helped for that. I deserve that. Wow.
Well, you not in Hamilton. You pick a category for Kevin and I.
Okay. I liked the clothing idea, so I'm going to go with clothing.
All right, but you two have to be harsh judges because, like, this gets pretty crazy pretty quickly.
Yes.
Because Kevin has tank tops.
Yeah. Kevin, do you want to start?
Sure.
Sure.
Tank tops.
T-shirts.
Shorts.
Jeans.
Underwear.
Socks.
Jock straps.
That's okay?
Yeah.
Undershirt.
Thongs.
Long sleeve button downs.
Brassieres.
Girdles.
Dress.
Leggings.
Cocktail dress.
Guess cocktail dress.
Leggings.
Wedding dress.
Sundress.
Wrap dress.
Sarong.
Moo-moo.
Bathrobe.
Yeah.
Slippers.
Are those shoes?
Are shoes clothing? Are they accessories?
They're accessories.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, somehow you get to pick the last category for both of us.
Okay. Drag queens who have been on RuPaul's Drag Race.
I mean, you want to start?
Bob the first.
Sure.
Bob the drag queen.
RuPaul.
Yeah.
Yes.
Manila Luzon.
I'm out. I've never seen an episode.
Oh my God, I literally never win this game.
Oh, wait. Now I think of one. We had him on as a guest.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Whoops. Oh, well.
You're right.
Well, Kevin, have you ever won that before?
Literally never. That was the first time I've ever won.
Congrats! Yay!
We did it for you.
Awesome. Do you have any, so typically we do this, a segment called Stage Door Stories. Do you have any fun stage door stories from your time doing shows across the country, or Memphis in Memphis, or doing Hamilton in Memphis? I'm sure like all your friends and choir kids and all that came. Any stage door stories from that one?
Yeah, it was really great going to Memphis. I went to Memphis for Color Purple and Hamilton, so I got to see my kids both times, and it was just really cute. But I want to say I was in Memphis. This wasn't my student, though, but I was playing Angelica that night, and one little girl was at the stage door getting her autograph, and her mom was like, "You should rap for her, rap for her." And so this little girl just raps the entire Angelica verse from Satisfied, and it was the cutest thing I had ever seen. Uh-huh. And she was so sweet.
Oh,
that's amazing.
Yes.
Cutest. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of our episode.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us. You can follow Nikisha on social media at Williams Nikisha, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So follow her there. You can also find her on our Friday episodes of when we break down movies. You can
and her find... very informative website, apparently.
Yes, which is also Williams Nikisha, I think.
Yes, it is. WilliamsNikisha.com.
Is there a Nikisha Williams that has all this stuff before you? Or were you just into the flip-flop?
There are a few Nikisha Williams out there, so I just automatically assume that numbers will be added if I say Nikisha Williams. So sure, I just put Williams Nikisha, and they're like, yes, and I'm like, great.
Cool. So follow her there. You can follow us at Broadwasted. You can find us on things like iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. Rate and review us there. Five stars, please.
And thank you.
You can also, of course, join our Facebook group that Kevin runs. It's a delight. You can find us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/ Broadwasted. And we have so much content there for you, especially during this time.
You can see my PowerPoint's finger wag live and in person.
You can see the finger wag.
Yes.
We always end our episode with a quote. And this quote is, "It broke down all of my senses, yet it made me feel so whole. See, I was lost until I found the music of my soul, the music of my soul." That's from a Memphis.
A Memphis.
In Memphis.
Yes.
Montego Glover, FSU.
Wait, who went to FSU?
Montego Glover.
Oh, she did?
Yes.
Cool. Well, Nikisha, thank you so much for joining us. It was really nice to spend this time with you and not have to talk about certain films, good or bad. Thank you so much for joining us. And as we end every episode from Grease 1,
yes,
we say, here's Blue Rider.
Absolutely, every day, all day.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.